From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns shortly. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Morning by Morning by C.H. Spurgeon.
This morning's text comes from Psalm 9 and verse 1. I will praise Thee, O Lord. Praise should always follow answered prayer, as the mist of earth's gratitude rises when the sun of heaven's love warms the ground. Hath the Lord been gracious to thee, and inclined his ear to the voice of thy supplication? Then praise him as long as thou livest. Let the ripe fruit drop upon the fertile soil from which it drew its life. Deny not a song to him who hath answered thy prayer, and given thee the desire of thy heart. To be silent over God's mercies is to incur the guilt of ingratitude. It is to act as basely as the 9 lepers, who, after they had been cured of their leprosy, returned not to give thanks unto the healing Lord. To forget to praise God is to refuse to benefit ourselves. For praise, like prayer, is one great means of promoting the growth of the spiritual life. It helps to remove our burdens, to excite our hope, to increase our faith. It is a healthful and invigorating exercise which quickens the pulse of the believer and nerves him for fresh enterprises in his Master's service. To bless God for mercies received is also the way to benefit our fellow men. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Others who have been in like circumstances shall take comfort if we can say, O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. Weak hearts will be strengthened, and drooping saints will be revived as they listen to our songs of deliverance. Their doubts and fears will be rebuked as we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. They too shall sing in the ways of the Lord when they hear us magnify his holy name. Praise is the most heavenly of Christian duties. The angels pray not, but they cease not to praise both day and night. And the redeemed, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, are never weary of singing the new song, Worthy is the Lamb.
Every voice and harp is swelling.
hearts adoring, thou hast loved us unto blood. Glory, glory, everlasting, be to thee the Lamb of God.
Lamb of God,
Lamb of God, thou now art seated high upon thy Father's throne. All thy gracious work completed, all thy mighty victory won. Every knee in heaven is bending to the Lamb for sinners slain. Every voice and harp is swelling.
If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it.
Thank you.
As he continues this series of studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns is dealing with the third commandment, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Though this commandment is often ignored, even by professing Christians, God has said that he will not hold him guiltless that takes his name in vain. Most people regard this sin as the use of profanity, which it certainly includes, but there are many other ways in which this sin is committed. Some of these include a frivolous use of God's name, appealing to his name in sorcery, perjuring oneself by the use of his name, as well as blasphemy, apostasy, and hypocrisy. Now, to continue this message on the third commandment, here is Dr. Cairns.
There is something chillingly evil about the constant repetition of the name Jesus. 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 In charismatic and other services, using that holy name as if it were a charm. Charms are devilish sorcery. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. Third, perjury. Perjury is confirming falsehood with an oath. Leviticus 19:12 says, "Ye shall not swear by my name falsely, neither shall ye profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord." Now, this is a very serious and widespread evil in everyday life. It always has been. Jeremiah lamented in chapter 5, 2, "Though they say the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely." We have this on every hand today, people invoking the name of God as a witness for what they are saying, and all the time they are swearing lies. That is perjury. It's not only an evil in private life, it's an evil in public life. From the president down, the magistrates take an oath of office, and they often profane God's name by including that in their oath and then blaspheming it with their insolent neglect of their oath. Ministers and elders, as they are confirmed in their holy calling, often commit a breach of the third commandment because they effectively commit perjury. Swearing before God and man, as ministers of the gospel, what they will do and what they will not do, and then promptly forgetting all about it. That is perjury. A fourth way is blasphemy. Blasphemy is reproaching or reviling God. It's contempt for God. We read that tonight in Leviticus chapter 24. Of the son of the Israelitish woman who cursed by the name of Jehovah, who blasphemed Jehovah. The Lord looks on blasphemy as an attack upon his person or his providence or his promise. It's something that comes from the devil, ultimately. It has the malignity of Satan within it. You remember what we read in Revelation 13:5 concerning the beast? That satanic emissary on the earth in the last days, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, what is blasphemy? Well, it's reviling the Lord, but it is particularly speaking against him. Listen to the words of Christ in Matthew 12:31. "All manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven." Now that's verse 31. Verse 32 explains that. "Whosoever speaketh a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, neither in the world to come." Blasphemy is speaking against God. And the worst form of it is blaspheming the Holy Ghost, which in Matthew 12 is deliberately attributing to the devil the work of the Holy Spirit. But there's a very much more common form of blasphemy. Remember when I was telling you what it meant to take the name in vain? The word vain is a noun that means emptiness, vanity. It indicates a nothing, a non-entity, a worthless thing. To blaspheme the Lord's name is to hold God to be despicable or worthless or negligible or to treat him as a non-entity. In other words, I want you to get this. If you live your life as if God did not exist, as if God had not spoken, you blaspheme him with every breath you take, with every step you take, with every muscle you move. To treat God as unimportant is the ultimate blasphemy. That's what God calls it. Then there is apostasy, which is using the Lord's name to depart from the Lord's truth or to deny his revelation. Jeremiah spoke of the prophets that prophesied lies in the Lord's name, saying, "I have dreamed, I have dreamed." You know, I have heard prophets like that. I have listened to modern-day self-styled prophets who said, "I have dreamed. The Lord has told me. The Lord has given me a vision." And all the time, they were leading people away from God's Word and away from the central revelation of Scripture. Peter warns us of this. 2 Peter 2 and 1, "There shall be false teachers among you who'll bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them." And he says, "By reason of whom the way of truth shall be blasphemed." Apostasy. Didn't Jesus warn us of this? This is not some remote thing. Listen to the words of the Savior and see if you can't catch an echo of the so-called prophets who parade in their hundreds around America today. "Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name?" That's their crime. That's their blasphemy. "In thy name have cast out devils. In thy name have done many wonderful works. Then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me." Notice, "ye cursed." They cursed God by their apostasy. He cursed them in his judgment. Then there's hypocrisy. What is hypocrisy? It's lifting up the Lord's name as a cover for sin. Jude 4 says there are certain men crept in unawares, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Hypocrites coming into the church. Peter warns, don't use your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Paul says you're called to liberty, but don't use your liberty for the occasion for the flesh. What is hypocrisy? Hypocrisy, in the words of Jeremiah, is stealing, murdering, committing adultery, swearing falsely, and then coming and standing before God in His house, which is called, he says, by my name. Then you say, we're delivered to do all these abominations. Jeremiah 7. That's hypocrisy. Now, religious hypocrisy is a cursed thing. God condemns it for many reasons. It's lying. It's covering up for many other sins. But first of all, it's a blasphemy against God. It's a breach of the third commandment. Now let's bring it down to ourselves. You come to God's house in a very sanctimonious fashion. You can lift up the Lord's name. But you get home, you're a different man. On goes the television Sabbath day or not. And yes, I will be dealing 2 weeks from tonight with the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day. Because I believe in 10 commandments, not 9. But after your sanctimonious use of the Lord's name, you can go home. And on goes the television, and whatever filth and ungodliness and uncleanness is there, you're quite at home. You go out into business and you can be as crooked as a corkscrew, as vile-tempered and vicious-tongued as the most ungodly. What are you doing? You're practicing hypocrisy. You're using the holy name of the thrice-holy God as a cloak for your own vicious sin. God abhors it. Then there's profanity. Now I've left this to the end because it's the most frequent and the most accepted form of taking the Lord's name in vain. It's an irreverent use of God's name. By irreverent, I simply mean it is using God's name without any sense of fear of God's person. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The man who has not started to fear God is a fool. And using the Lord's name without any sense of fear or reverence of the great and holy and awesome person of God is taking His name in vain. It's a light or a thoughtless use of the divine name. Sometimes people will burst out into a passionate invective, and they would make it all the more terrible by invoking the Lord's name. Often they use the Lord's name as a word to curse or swear. There's nothing new in this. Jeremiah 23:10 says, because of swearing, the land mourneth. Hosea 4:2 laments, by swearing, that is cursing, lying and killing, and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. That is, they break out in wanton fury, and blood toucheth blood. Violent crimes piled one upon another. Again, I have not time to follow through, but I want you to see that breaking the third commandment never stands alone. Look at America tonight, blood touching blood. There's not a city in America, there's hardly a town or a hamlet where a man or a woman can walk in safety. Blood touching blood. Violence piled upon violence. You can blame the education system. You can blame the social system. You can blame this and blame that. But I want to tell you, when a when a nation loses the fear of God, it loses the mainspring of societal purity. God says it. By cursing. That's the beginning. Oh, it's a little thing. Listen to any radio program. God's name is taken in vain constantly. It's nothing. But God says that's just the first link in a chain that ends in the cesspool and the bloodbath that we have across the nation tonight.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.